Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we are going to be talking about Mass Effect, just the first game.
Yep. So, yep, jumping in. You are Commander Shepard of the SS Normandy, an elite agent in Humanities Systems Alliance military. Explore the galaxy with your hand-picked squad of combat, tech, and biotic specialists as you race against time to stop a madman bent on galactic destruction. Meet new characters and encounter never-before-seen alien species. Find new weapons, armor, and items as you experience a whole new adventure.
Okay, so a little background on the game production-wise. This was developed by BioWare, who are known for the Mass Effect series, of course, the Dragon Age series, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and Baldur's Gate. So a lot of kind of narrative-heavy, choice-based, having party members kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
All heavy there. And then also, Mass Effect was envisioned as the first chapter of a trilogy from the very beginning. So that's kind of cool, is that when they started this game, they said, we're making three. This is part one of three, which I thought was cool to read. Like, you know, it's not like, mm-hmm. Oh, that game went well, so let's make a sequel.
Yeah.
But this was always going to be a trilogy, which is, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm, it's cool. It's a big investment, too.
Yeah.
Because it could have flopped and then... Like, oh, what do we do there?
No,
but
yeah.
It didn't, so good.
Right, yeah, for real. If the first one wasn't received well, be like, well, should we, like, not do this space series?
Yeah. Well, they did all three, so.
Right.
Good there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some main characters. We'll just kind of list them off here. So you have this guy named Kaden Alenko. He's an Alliance Marine. He's human. You have Ashley Williams. She's an Alliance soldier. She's also human. You have a Citadel security guard named Varys Vakarian. He's a alien race called Turian.
Garrus.
Oh, yeah. Garrus, yeah. What did I say?
I think he said Varys.
Oh. He's Garrus. Yep. Garrus Vakarian. He's a Turian. And then there's a mercenary, Erdnot Rex. He just goes by Rex. He's mm-hmm. a Krogan, who's also an alien. You have a mechanic named Tali Zora. She's a... I don't know how to say this. Corian?
So.
Corian, yeah. Cool. And you have an exo-archaeologist named Liara Tassoni. She's an Asari.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's two kind of side-ish characters that you don't actually have in your party, but Captain David Anderson, voiced by Keith David, and then quote-unquote Joker Morrow, voiced by Seth Green.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of famous.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Keith David was, like, big in the 80s. I think he was in a lot
His of voice games. Is really familiar.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's done other video games, too.
I think he might have done Halo.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Yeah, he's definitely in Halo.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They were definitely both familiar. When I heard them, I was like, I know that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, also, your character, Shepard,
oh.
You can play as... I didn't write this down. I forgot. But you can play as a male or a female version of Shepard.
Okay.
Either way. I was Bill Shepard.
Same, YouTube, yeah. Yeah.
Partway through playing, I was like, oh, maybe I should have been FemShep.
So FemShep.
Yeah, that's what people call it. But just so that we're different. But I was far enough in that I was like, eh, never mind.
Yeah.
I'll just roll with male Shepard. But
yeah, fair. So those are all the... There's, what is that, six potential squad mates?
Mm-hmm.
And then two main side characters that you... Just interact with a bunch.
Right. And the way the game ends up ultimately being set up is that you can take two squad members with you on any mission or chapter in the mm-hmm. game, essentially. And so, and you can do those as varying or similar as you want. So you could do the same two through the whole game, or you could just change both of them every time or
yeah.
any other combination. And so before we actually get into the game, we wanted to talk together about which squad members are your favorite. Our favorites. So for me, the two squad members I used the most were Garrus and Ashley. They were probably on almost all my missions by the end. Because
mm-hmm.
I did get to a spot where I basically stuck with the same squad most of the game.
Yep. Same for me. I picked... Garrus was, like, hands down my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I also used Liara a lot, too, because mm-hmm. her biotic powers were pretty sweet.
Yeah.
She was really useful.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my favorite, too, but Garrus is definitely, like... Top choice. If I did, if someone had to die, it was not going to be him.
Yeah,
you know, I would kill everyone else before I killed Garrus. I don't know. I just like Turians a lot too. They just look really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked his little like blue scouter thingy
yeah,
from like
that
from,
was cool.
Because I was really into Dragon Ball Z growing up. So like, oh, this dude's got a sick scouter. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, that was cool. I liked him too. I think he's my favorite. If I had to have characters die. I think he's last on my list.
Yep.
Game Till 5 wrote in and said, we always love Caden and Liara, but also Garrus and Rex will always be my bros.
Yeah. Nikki on Twitter said, Garrus and Tali. Garrus is the coolest and Tali is the sweetest, but also very cool.
Alyssa on Twitter wrote in, for now, Tali and Caden make a good mix alongside my Shepherd, but there's obviously a lot left to be seen. I think Alyssa's early in the game.
Oh, okay. Christopher on Twitter says, Tali and Rex. Rex is really cool, too. I liked him a lot. He was really rough and gruff.
Yeah.
But towards the end, like, he warms up to you and he's cool.
Yeah, I thought he was cool as well. Chris on Twitter said, Liara to Sony is his favorite character.
Mm-hmm. Pogo on Twitter said Liara and Tali, two highly intelligent and funny female companions to my Shepherd, who is, by the way, also a female.
Joe on Twitter said Garrus.
Yeah, Garrus. Hound Dad on Twitter said Tali and Garrus, just saving the universe with my best buds.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Adam on Twitter said Rex.
Andrew on Twitter said Caden, Tali, and Rex.
Zanzibar on Twitter said Garrus and Liara.
Craig on Twitter said, I guess it would have to be Ashley and Rex. They make for an interesting dynamic.
Definitely. That's,
yeah, definitely, because Ashley's low-key racist towards other, towards not humans.
Yes.
And Rex is in your face.
Yeah, she's definitely low-key to high-key racist at different points.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Livo on Twitter said, they're all great for me. Standouts are Garrus Valenqan and Tali Zora. We're the best, though.
Kyle on Twitter says, Rex and Garrus, space bros forever.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that that was my combo in retrospect. But, yeah. Dan on Twitter said Garrus and Tali.
Mm.
Okay. So, those are... Yeah, those are a lot. I think something that is cool in that, too, is that a lot of different characters get brought up. But there's not just clearly one good side character.
Mm-hmm.
It's that most of the crew... It seems like the humans would be kind of your lessers. That Ashley and Cadence would be...
Yeah, in my opinion, yeah.
Yeah, the characters you care less about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. I think Mass Effect set up a good squad characters to be mm-hmm. your sides as you missions.
Yeah, they're all unique and have their own different appeals. So I feel like they would have... Each or every character would appeal to someone, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. So that's pretty cool. So now we'll get into our recap of the game. As always, this is spoiler filled. We're going to say everything that happened in this game. Also, I think the middle section of the game, you can do the planets in different orders than what I wrote down. I think I just wrote them down in the order I did them, or maybe the quote-unquote standard order. But I think chapters like 1 or 2 through like 5, you can interchange. So the way you played this may have been somewhat different than
how it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Just looking at the list right now, but so, not crazy.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we got. But okay, so recap. It begins, the Normandy, which is the name of the ship Shepherd is on, is hosting a Spectre named Nihilus, who's a Turian, so like Garrus. And they find out about a Prothean beacon on Edom Prime. And so Normandy lands to check it out. So this is kind of like a signal that shouldn't really be happening. And they're like, all right, what's with that?
Mm-hmm.
And so they head that way.
Yeah, and I guess real quick too, Protheans are like this ancient civilization that expanded really far and had a bunch of advanced technology. Then they just kind of disappeared one day. There's like not many traces of them left. So the fact they'd find a beacon from them is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, super crazy. Weird.
Yep.
Super weird. And so Nihilus gets out to scout ahead, and you get your first... interaction of being a squad. So Shepherd gets out with Caden and a guy named Jenkins, and they head out after Nihilus scouting. Very early on, Jenkins gets killed.
It's murked. There's a little alien robot. They're the robots.
Yeah. And so you start encountering little alien robot things that you're fighting along the way, trying to figure out what's going on, what's with this beacon. And you end up finding Nihilus. He lets you know that there's a lot of dead bodies ahead, that the colony that was here has been massacred, seemingly. And so we're like, all right, what's really happening? This is pretty crazy. After this, we end up meeting a Marine named Ashley, and she joins us in our fighting. She was someone stationed at the colony, and is like, everything's fucked. My unit got killed, like that sort of thing.
One of the last humans left.
Right, and so we're like, well, come join us. Jenkins got killed, so...
yeah, replace him.
Yeah, you want to help us out in our squad of three? She does, which is helpful. And that she's a good fighter. That seems to be her primary skill set tree, is that she's a fighter.
Yeah.
So she joins up and it is helpful. We see Nihilus talking to Saren, who claims to have everything under control.
And
Saren,
they're both Spectres. Yeah. Turian Spectres.
Yeah, they're both Turians. They're both Spectres. Spectres are essentially like... not if you were secret police, because people know who you are.
Yeah.
But if you were high up in the galaxy in terms of like... being an investigator slash like representative of the council, almost like an ambassador slash policeman.
Yeah, and you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yes.
For the most part, as long as you like obviously don't do bad things. But if you have a mission and you have to like kill people to finish your mission, you can kind of kill people to finish your mission.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's like don't ask, don't tell.
It would be kind of like being like James Bond.
Yeah.
In a sense, exactly. Except people know who you are.
Yep.
And
you can go wherever you want in the galaxy and shit like that.
Right.
People. So it's really privileged role, very highly sought after, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very up there, very prestige and all that stuff. So they're talking. Saren says, hey, I've got everything under control. It's good. Nihilus is like, okay, cool. And he turns around and then Saren kills him. Which was crazy.
Yeah, Saren is bad now, apparently.
Saren is bad, and he's a Spectre. This isn't great. What's going on? After this, we're killing Geth, who are Saren's kind of henchmen of sorts.
Yeah, they're like robot things. Robot humanoid creatures.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like your NPC bad guy of sorts. Like your random bad guy, like in games when you have your generic bad guy you fight. That's who the Geth are for most of this game. And so who you fight are often Geth, and they're kind of like henchman number one who isn't like that great at fighting, but you kill them.
And then there's you fight more advanced, bigger Geth, like, I don't know, quote unquote, like mini bosses or bosses and things like that. So there's a lot of varied enemies in the game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, your enemies get stronger variety as the game goes on and it gets harder and stuff, but the Geth are your, like, standard bad guy.
Yep. Minions.
Yeah. So you fight them. You're also disarming these explosives that got set by Saren. Because he, like, got his info he needed and then was going to jet and blow stuff up to cover his tracks.
Yep.
Essentially. And he didn't plan on the Normandy showing up and Nihilus and all this. So that's kind of his go. And then the last, like, big thing that happens here is Shepard disarms the explosives. And then he has this seizure slash vision from the beacon from the Protheans. And it, like, levitates him for a second, right?
Yeah.
And then he, like, has all these flashes of images happen and, like, passes out.
Yeah, so I think basically the Prothean beacon is, like, this piece of, like, a network point that transfers information across the galaxy.
Yeah.
And so it gets transferred to his mind.
Yes.
But he's, like, confused by it because, you know, it's nuts. So
More information than your, like, body can handle.
Yeah, so then, he has, like, a seizure and, like, passes out for a long time.
Yeah. So, kind of wild.
And the beacon blows up.
And it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that wraps up, really, chapter one.
Yep.
After this, you end up, like, waking up. You're on the Normandy and you're debriefing with people and kind of figuring out what's up. And you get sent to the Citadel, which is the capital of the galaxy, I guess?
Yeah,
or at least of, like, the people that we're involved with.
Yep.
Kind of thing. And so we get there, and we've got a plan to reveal to the council that Saren's a traitor. Because we're like, whoa, he killed Nihilus. Like, he was at this beacon thing. He was killing people. Like. Mm-hmm. He's not good.
Fucking crazy. Yeah.
This is crazy that, like, one of the, you know, James Bond's actually a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah. And I guess one thing about the council, too, is it's the modern day equivalent is kind of like the European Union, maybe, where, like, all these alien races that come together and, like, have different representatives on the council.
Right.
And they kind of make decisions. They're like the galactic government, basically.
Right.
So humanity isn't technically in the council yet, but they're, like, trying to get in the council.
Right, yeah. Humans don't have a rep on the council yet, and have a sort of bad rep.
Yeah.
Not quite that, like, we hate you, but we're not really ready to trust you.
Yeah, you haven't, like, earned your spot, because humanity's new to the galactic expansion, space travel, whatever.
Right.
New enough.
Right.
So, yeah, we're not, like, not part of the council, but we're not, like, part of the council.
Right.
But we agree to be governed by the council.
Yeah, we'd want to be in, but we're not exactly a key player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point. And so we want to tell them that Saren's a traitor, but that is obviously a big accusation.
Yeah.
You know, this guy has a specter, which to get there, that's super important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we're humans, and like Turians are on the council mm-hmm. and like are well thought of and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
They're at the very least skeptical about this accusation.
Yes. And when you tell them, it falls pretty flat.
Yeah. They're like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. They're basically like, yeah, you're like some fucking human captain guy.
Yeah.
Commander of sorts. And come on, Spectre.
Yeah. What like, do you know about this?
Like, yeah. What do you know about this? And we're mm-hmm. like, okay. So then while we're in the Citadel, we meet Garrus, the Turian, along with Rex, who's a Krogan, and Tali, who's Quarian. Three aliens along there. They're not exactly side quests, but sort of.
They're side quest-ish. I feel like.
If you skip these, you don't have them be part of your team.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need to do this, like, mm-hmm. if you want them.
I did all of them.
Yeah, I did all of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them have little side missions you can have with them.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what you do end up doing is going after a criminal whose name is Fist, who was working with Saren.
Yeah.
By going to, like, the Citadel strip club and, like, shit like that.
Yeah. I think he's trying to get information from what you found is from Tali.
Yes.
She had information about... She had a sound clip of Saren talking about the beacon and, like, how he did stuff. Like, incriminating evidence, basically.
Yeah. He had incriminating... Tali had incriminating evidence. And then Rex was after something else.
I think Rex was after Fist.
After Fist for maybe a different bounty.
Yeah.
Because he's a mercenary. He's just a bounty hunter who kills people or captures them for money from people. So
yeah. So in my playthrough, I got Rex first.
Okay.
And then brought him. We interrogated Fist. And then we were like, all right, cool. And then Rex just shoots him in the face and just murders him. Like,
oh,
all right,
man.
Don't really care.
I think he might have done something like that for me, too, and I didn't, like, go hard on him.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
But I wasn't, like, good just, job. I was like,
He's like, it was my last bounty. I was like, all right, fine.
Yeah, because at this point, I was with Rex and Garrus, I think.
I was, too.
Were my people.
Yep.
That I was rolling with.
Yeah, and also, if you're working with Saren, you're bad, so you can just die. That's cool.
Right, yeah, not a problem. So then we get this new information, and we present it to the council, and they're like, okay, you can be a Spectre, which is a big deal. You're the first human to become a Spectre
mm-hmm.
at this point, which is cool. And they say you can investigate the Saren matter. So they're not, like, all in that Saren's bad, necessarily. Mm-hmm. But they're concerned enough to let you try to figure it out.
Yep.
Which was cool. It was like, all right, cool. We've got some agency. We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So then from here... This is where it can split, where you can have, I don't know, four different ways you do
this. Yeah, I got Liara first.
Okay. But... So for mine, I went to a planet called Pharos, and the big thing here is helping out a planet that was getting attacked by Geth,
mm-hmm.
and I think you find out a little bit more about the Geth.
Did you find the plant?
Maybe.
There's, like, this plant, this super, super ancient, like, I guess it's, like, a plant that, like, controls people.
Okay.
So it, like, took control of all the people on Pharos. I think this is Pharos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where all the humans were shooting at you, and so you had to, you could choose to kill them or like, knock them out.
With a grenade, like, incapacitate them.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I did that, then I killed the plant thing, and then it solved the problems. But yeah like, that's the main thing,
I guess. I did that, too. And then I, like, did the side missions to... help the colony or whatever by, like, getting them food and shit like that.
I don't think I did that.
Okay. There's ones where you can, like, scavenge and, like, do
little things. Oh, yeah,
no,
I didn't do that. I did, like, the main things.
Yeah. This was one of the ones that I did in the beginning. But also, Pharos feels a little less significant in my mind because I played it a long time ago.
That's fair.
that part was a lot further ago. But, the big thing, right, the plant, fight some Geths, help the colony,
mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah, essentially. You don't get any companions here.
Right, you don't get companions. You don't fight Saren or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Yep.
So from here, you move on. The next kind of chapter I did was the one where you find Liara. I think this is... You might use the Mako on Ferris, I can't remember. But this I wrote down using the Mako for the first time, which is essentially your, like, Humvee.
It's a big tank thing.
Yeah.
It's a Humvee with a tank cannon on top of it, basically.
Yeah, it has, like, a tank cannon and, like, a machine gun.
Yeah.
You use your Mako for the first time. It's not the best to drive.
Really hard to control.
Yeah, hard to control. It took a minute to get used to, for sure, for me. I feel like the first part of the game I played took me way longer because I was just crashing into shit all the time for a while, or, like, driving slow, or, like, oh, I have to turn. Or, like,
yeah.
It took a minute for me to get used to, and each time I did it, I kind of was like, oh, I hate this.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like
that. There's also just times where, like, it seems like you shouldn't be driving it because there's, like, really narrow passage. Like, why don't we just walk?
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know if you can get out of it. I never really tried.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely times where, like, this seems like a feature they just added. Right. And it makes sense sometimes, but then other times, like, eh, we don't really need the Mako. We could just literally walk.
Yeah, I think if that would have been in the game less, that would have been better.
Yeah, but,
like, if you would have just been like, okay, you're already at the spot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're just as the squad shooting.
Sure.
I'd probably prefer that.
Yeah.
The big thing, though, that happens here, ultimately, is you get to these Prothean ruins, and you find Liara, who is an Asari, and she's trapped in this security device.
Yeah.
So, as we talked about before, she's like an archaeologist type of sorts.
Studying the Protheans.
And Asari, like, not live forever, but they live...
have a long time.
They have, like, a really long lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're... You know, they have the experience of, like, oh, over hundreds of years, this is what humanity's like, or what people are like, or the galaxy's like. Or...
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty different, like, interacting with her compared to your standard alien or human.
Yeah, and also they use biotics, which is, like, this... It's, like, psychic ability, I guess, or elemental ability, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. And I think they can all do it. And also they're unisex. Like, they're not... They can mate with any race to make children, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And they're also... Yeah, that's why I used her. She was my love interest, I guess.
Okay.
And also, she was really helpful in battle because she could, like, freeze people, and it was great.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool. And, yeah, and also I think they're really smart because of the long lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're really intelligent and really able to, like...
Yeah.
...grasp things in a way that, like... You as Shepard or the people in your squad might not be able to.
Yeah, because I think Liara said she's like 100 something.
Yeah.
But she's like basically a child.
Right.
Compared to other ones. It's like, right. That's nuts.
Right, because she's on her quest. I was going to say Rumspringer, but it's not.
No,
but...
that's the...
Oh, is that Tali?
That's Tali, yeah.
Never mind.
The pilgrimage.
Yeah, you're right. Mm. Because she has to find something of value to bring back to her.
Rumspringer. Yep, yeah. That's basically what her I thought society. Of too. The first time I heard it, I was like, Rumspringer.
Tali is on a journey to find something of value to bring back to her society to prove that you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But, right, Liara, you're same thing, though, because everyone lives so long. Living for 100 years is still like being a baby.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So then we help get her out, ultimately. Geth show up, we fight them. You have a, like, semi-boss battle with one of, like, the bigger Geth. You kill them and the ruins collapse as you escape. That's basically what we get here.
Yeah. And I guess each time, too, you finish a mission, you go back to the ship and, like, you can talk to the council.
Yes.
And I remember, I think they were kind of pissed at me because the Prothean ruins got destroyed. I'm like, fuck you guys. So at various points, you can, like, you kind of... be closer to the council or kind of farther away.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of you also the council's not a character, but you kind of develops as a character.
That's
from
a good
your
point.
mission right. Interactions with them afterwards.
That's a good point. After each mission, you get back to your ship. You can go and talk to any of the squad mates mm-hmm. that you want, get extra interactions with them and with the council.
Yep.
And so you can develop or not develop those relationships depending on if you do those and.
Mm-hmm.
What you prioritize, and you know, it can be asking them about the last mission, it can be asking them about their personal life, all that stuff.
Yep.
That's kind of the range you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know this for sure, because I didn't do a lot of it, but I think you can get side quests by talking to them as well.
I didn't really do much of those either.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of side quests, which I might change in Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking after this, like, that's that. I feel like that's my damning at times in these games is that I don't do enough in the first one, and then like, shit, I should have done more.
Yeah.
Like with Bioshock.
Yep.
I didn't read enough of the journals the first time.
Yeah, which add way,
which
add way much to the story.
And the second one I did read a lot more, so I feel like that might end up happening in Mass Effect 2 for me, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to end up doing more whenever we do that. But, yeah, I guess that wraps up that chapter. The next big chapter is called Nuvera. The big thing here is you find out that Matriarch Benezia had previously come here. And this is crazy because she's like Saren's like main lieutenant.
Yeah, number two for sure.
Yeah, Saren's number two, but she's also Liara's mom.
Yep.
So it's kind of a crazy thing, but with Asari's family relationships, it's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's basically like they don't have family in kind of your standard way of thinking about it. Like, she either didn't know her dad or not really. Like, it was, her mom was pretty secretive about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you've been around 100 years, but you're not close, really, because, like, you've gone different ways, and kind of this attitude of, well, if my mom chose that path, then that's not good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty different than, certainly the human version of family, or how we've experienced that traditionally, think about it. The Asari have a pretty different way of going about that.
Yeah, because I think one thing she mentions, too, is, like, it's generally, the Asari generally agree that it's better to mate with different species because it enhances the genetic pool, I guess.
Right.
And it sounds like maybe her mom didn't do that, so it's kind of, like, frowned upon.
Yeah.
So she just kind of blocked out the dad because she didn't want people to know. I think she... Yara mentioned that, but I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, it was just interesting because she was pretty like, whatever, it's my mom kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which was a different kind of response than you'd expect from like when you'd ask about it. Like, is this hard for you or something? She's like, nah.
Yeah, she's like, all right.
She makes her own choices and you're like, oh, okay.
That's okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we can kill her.
Right. Yep. So when you're on Nuvera, you do get stuck on the dock, though. So there's kind of a, the security who runs it or whatever, they're kind of abrasive when you first get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, try to make you give away your guns and stuff like that.
Yeah, which did not do that.
Yeah, I don't think I did either. Or maybe did for, like, a second and then got him back. It was pretty brief. Either way. What you ultimately end up doing is you get a pass. Someone who is on Nuvera helps you out, and also kind of indicates that some of the local government there is kind of more corrupt.
Yeah,
and that,
like,
Matriarch Benezia has been there, actually, even though they're saying she hasn't. And here's a way to get out and move on.
Yep, that's, in a nutshell, that's what happens.
Yeah. So then from here you go to the Rift to find her. So this is like a station that's a bit away from Nuvera, essentially, of like a research station of sorts.
Because Nuvera is like a bunch of corporations just develop things there, I guess, and research things. So there's a bunch of corporations. So this is one of the corporations, is like, I forget what it's called, but we go to their, I don't know, research lab, because that's where Benezia is.
Yes. So we go there because that's where she's said to have been last.
Mm-hmm.
So we head there, and being here for me felt a lot like the movie The Thing.
Yeah, that's
fair. I don't know if you felt that way.
Yep.
But just where it's like there's people who are there, and they seem good at first, but then it's like, oh, they're controlled, and they try to attack you, and like different stuff like that.
Hmm.
It felt a lot like that movie to me, where it was just kind of creepy and like a desolate. Also, the planet was, it wasn't a snow planet, right? But it kind of felt like it, right?
I think there was like an avalanche or a winter storm or something.
Okay.
So I don't know if the whole thing's a snow planet, but this part was, it was definitely snowing. But okay. I guess you're inside the whole time.
Yeah. I think that contributed that too, though, for The Thing.
That's fair.
Of it feeling that way for me. It's like, okay, this is like The Thing level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's like alien things that escaped that are just murdering people.
Right, right. Because some of the areas just had dead people.
Yeah, just that was it.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of cool. I liked that. Then you have your, I would say, your biggest boss battle yet, which is with Matriarch Benezia, and you're fighting her. It goes, I think, like 2 or 3 rounds. As the rounds go, she'll have parts where she has different Asari soldiers come and help her, and so you have to, like, fight them and fight her and, you know, shoot her when the force field's down and stuff like that. Like, it's like a legit boss battle.
Yep, definitely.
For sure. Ultimately, you do kill her. You beat her, and she reveals a little bit more about what you're looking into, right? Is that the Saren's sort of controlled.
Yeah,
well, and that she was sort of controlled by...
Well, she thinks by Saren.
Yeah, she thinks it's by Saren, you're right.
Yeah, so like Saren can mind control people.
Yeah.
She's... said she like locked part of her mind away so she could not be controlled at some point, which is right now.
Right.
And then basically she's like, you have to kill me, I think.
Yeah. And then kill her.
Yeah.
So we get this, is Saren, more capable than we even thought, kind of thing. Like, hearing that from her, that maybe she didn't want to be controlled, that this wasn't necessarily her full ambition sort of thing.
Yeah.
Of like, I'm trying to be full bad guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So, we head after Saren from here to a place called Vermeier. We drive the Mako on a beach to get to Saren's base. We get there and there's a Salarian camp, and we talk to this guy named Captain Curry, and he's who we got a message from. The council got a message from near the beginning of the game, saying something was going on Vermeier, and you know, we need help, essentially. And that was part of our investigation that we got sent on after Saren in the beginning. And he was the scout, and I guess what he had intended to say on the message was, we need like the whole army here, like shit's gonna be bad. And we show up, he's like, are you everything? And we're like, yeah,
sorry dude,
sorry, your message was a little scrambled. And he's like, all right, fine, whatever. And what we find out is that Saren is recruiting this army of Krogan by curing them. So, and Rex is a Krogan. And what he's curing them of is there's, I guess, a disease that someone, I don't know if it was humanity or the council.
I think
council
it was
or,
the Salarians.
Salarian, okay. So they have this disease that essentially lets them die a lot earlier. Their lifespans are smaller.
And they, I think it makes it hard to reproduce.
Yeah.
Like their kids die too.
Yeah. So, big deal. Mm-hmm. But Saren has done something to find a cure for that. So then the Krogan are like, oh, you're our guy. If you can solve this.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense that they would be won over. The Krogan in general look like Rex. Like, they're all big and like...
like, kind of like turtles.
Yeah, and can fuck shit up.
Yeah, they're... I think this is one of the points too. Like, there's some like cool points where you can learn about the lore. So like, apparently there's a big Krogan-Salarian war back in the day. And then they only won by introducing this disease to the Krogans and killing them off. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Rex doesn't like that in our mission, we would destroy the cure for this. So Rex doesn't like that this disease is going to be cured. Or
not be cured.
Not be cured by destroying the cure in this mission. He doesn't like that. He's got a problem there. So you have a confrontation between Rex and Shepard here. Rex is like pissed and kind of storms off, and so you need to go talk to him to kind of get him on board. Captain Curry is apprehensive and worried. Also, he kind of looks like Greedo from Star Wars. Captain Curry.
Like who?
Greedo. He's like Han Solo shoots him in the cantina.
I vaguely
in the
remember.
First movie, in The New Hope. Yeah, but
long time ago.
Yeah, but. Anyway, you have this confrontation between Rex and Shepard. Depending on the relationship you've developed with him, you can reason with him in a variety of ways. For mine, reasoning did not go well, and actually kills Rex because Rex was, we had our guns pointed at each other.
I reasoned with him.
Yeah.
So this did not happen.
Yeah, I figure you have Rex still. Yes.
Yep.
So in mine, actually kills Rex. That was a huge bummer. I liked him. I didn't use him a lot, as evidenced by not having... I don't think I had as many options in my dialogue because I didn't build enough relationship, so...
Yeah, I think if you just talk to him in between missions, that's all you really need to do.
Okay, yeah, I fucked up. I didn't do enough of that. I think I... Because I think in the beginning of the game, I only talked to some people or didn't talk to people at first because I didn't figure it out.
That's fair.
So, I kind of fucked up. so, unfortunately, Rex is dead now for me.
Bummer.
Yeah, that's a bummer, because also was pretty shocking because at this point I didn't know squad members could die. And so,
well, yep.
Yeah,
So you're in for a surprise.
Yes. Yeah. So I was like, oh, because I kind of just had assumed, like, there's three games. Your squad members must go through the three games, or, like, you know, maybe they can die in Mass Effect 2 or something like mm-hmm. that. So I thought I was more stable than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not. Nope. R.I.P. Rex.
Yep.
Rex is gone for me. I liked you, and I would have not had you die if I had a choice. So, dang. From here, Captain Curry asks for a squad member to help lead his assault. So his plan is that me and my, like, three squads will attack from the front. This will distract them. You and your squad will go from the back, infiltrate in, you know, blow up the cure, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose Caden to go with Captain Curry.
I did too.
Okay. Same thing. Okay. So Caden rolls there. From here, so Captain Curry attacks from the front, Shepard from the back, and Caden with Curry inside the base. So we fight through here. You gotta kill some Geth and mm-hmm. Some Krogans.
Yeah, there's a fair amount.
Krogans are hard to fight, because they're fucking big.
Mm-hmm. They can take some bullets.
Yeah, I found myself a lot in spots where I'm like, just trying to run away from the Krogan while they're trying to kill me and hoping my squad members kill them.
Yeah.
Because they'd, like, fuck me up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't go down so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just charge you and just melee the shit out of you.
Yep. They're pretty nuts.
Yeah. Inside the base, though, we end up talking to Sovereign, who is a Reaper who is using Saren.
Yeah, he's, like, his ship, basically.
Yeah. So Sovereign, there's these ancient ships have gone away.
It's like a race, the Reapers.
Yeah, so the Reapers were thought of as kind of like a mythological, almost, mm-hmm. like, oh, this, like, ancient civilization of killers who killed everyone kind of thing.
Yeah, and
but it's, like, mythologized enough that people are like, oh, that's not real.
Yep.
Is kind of the attitude. And then we meet Sovereign, and it's like, oh, shit, the Reapers are real, and mm-hmm. they're still here.
Yeah,
and Saren's with them.
Yeah, and he's trying to bring more Reapers here.
Right.
Essentially.
So, yeah, so he's trying to kind of restart the Reaper way of killing.
Yeah.
That he's into that, and Saren is his guy. So suddenly it's kind of gotten, our big bad is actually part of a bigger bad.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a bigger. Yeah, sort of a Darth Vader to Palpatine kind of deal.
Sure.
Where you're like, oh, Darth Vader is not the worst guy.
Yeah.
It sort of feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's more that he's using Saren. So Saren is not necessarily fully under his own control.
No, he's being mind controlled.
That we'll Sovereign see from can here.
Mind control people somehow.
Right. And so that's what was happening with Matriarch Benezia.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that Saren's not necessarily all in on being evil. That he could be, but that also maybe he's being influenced by Sovereign. That's kind of the feel you get from mm-hmm. this. What we do is we set a bomb for the laboratory to blow up this Krogan cure, but Sovereign's coming for us. After Sovereign's talked to us, he's coming, wants to kill us, blow mm-hmm. the planet up, stop us from stopping him.
Mm-hmm.
After setting the bomb, we have to choose whether to save, and yours might be different than this. So whether to save, the person at the bomb. For me, that was Ashley. At the bomb, and because in this mission you do have to choose your both humans, right?
Yeah, it's
okay. That's what I thought.
Yep.
You have to choose whether to save Ashley for me, and I guess for you too, who's at the bomb, or Caden, who's in the assault squad. I saved Ashley here.
Yeah, same.
So Caden's with the assault squad. It's not going well, and you end up in this spot where you have to save one person. The other person's kind of gonna die for the mission.
Mm.
And they each want it. They're both like, save the other one.
Yeah.
That sort of deal. So then from here, Saren shows up. And you fight him by the bomb. He's got like a hoverboard, essentially.
Yeah, super annoying.
Yeah. And so you're like shooting at him for a minute. You ultimately get him. There's a point where he like has you lifted up by your neck, but mm-hmm. then something happens and he runs away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Normandy comes and picks you up before the explosion of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so for ours, you pick up us and Ashley and the rest of our squad. And then you fly over and you like see Caden fighting and then the planet blows up.
Yep.
It was like, oof.
Sad.
Yeah. So this was the appropriate time to ask, did anyone in your squad die? So for me, I've had Rex and Caden die.
In the same mission.
In the same mission, and I didn't know anyone could die.
Yeah.
So I was pretty shaken and wondered if I'd made good decisions before this or not. You know, like, I was just like, fuck. Like, and had me concerned the rest of the time playing the game, because I was like, man, they just killed off a third of my squad. Like,
yeah, seriously.
Can anyone else die? Like, all right. And so then I had to have that, like, order of operations in my head, and I was like, okay, Garrus is first place.
Yeah,
like
that, always, this always
was
Garrus.
This is like, all right, Garrus is number one then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Caden die in mine too, but Rex didn't, like we already talked about. But yeah, I chose Ashley.
Okay.
To save her over Caden, because I think I just talked with her more.
Sure.
And Caden was kind of annoying. Not like, not really annoying, but he was too normal. Like,
yeah.
He didn't have much personality. He was kind of like, oh, you're a soldier, cool.
Right.
I just don't really care.
Yeah. I think that's how I felt. Also, like, I had Ashley on a lot of my missions, and mm-hmm. the main thing being is that she was good at fighting, which was helpful. Because mm-hmm. most of the missions I did were like, I'd have a heavy fighter. So most of the time that was Ashley, but sometimes that was Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And then Garrus. That was kind of my way I played a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, makes sense.
So writing in, did anyone, for other people, good game, great game, wrote in and said, I always have everyone alive except Ashley. One time I played and I tried to make myself pick Caden to die instead, but I couldn't bring myself to kill my first official video game boyfriend, and I ended up killing Ashley and Romance and Caden all over again. Which I thought was great.
Yeah.
I get that. It's funny with games with that where you have to choose someone to die and you're like, all right, I'm going to do it different. And they're like, never mind.
I can't do it. Yeah, never I can't bring
sorry.
Myself to it. Yep. Yeah,
that's great.
GameTill5 on Twitter said, Ashley was the only one ever to die in my game. Wasn't that bothered, though. Yeah, she was kind of annoying to me, too. I didn't dislike Caden, but I liked Ashley more than Caden.
Sure.
But not much more.
Yeah. Christopher on Twitter said, Caden, that was fine with me. I didn't like him much anyways.
Nikki on Twitter said, before Mass Effect 1 was on PS3, it auto-picked for you if you didn't play the interactive comic. It was the absolute worst when that made Rex dead. For Vermeer, I picked, depending on my mood, sometimes Ash has to trigger the nuke before being a racist bitch. Sometimes Caden for being a little too much for me, to be honest.
The interactive comic thing is interesting. I didn't know about that.
Is that like a prequel?
It must be. I wonder if it was something you like did on the web before.
Yeah, I've never...
Before playing the game or something.
Yeah, did not hear about that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Pogo on Twitter said Caden died for them.
Backlog Knight on Twitter said, yep, my man Caden died on my Paragon playthrough, and my girl Ashley died on my Renegade run. Rex never died.
This also brings up a good thing. So you can play Paragon or Renegade style. Essentially, all the interactions you do give you various points mm-hmm. in your theme, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of being more of, not bad, but Renegade, I guess, would be the quote-unquote bad section. So you're
sure.
Maybe do a little less orthodox. And then Paragon is being more good, mm-hmm. so to speak. So yeah. I think that's something that's big in these games. Is a lot of people play them multiple times, and you have different ways you would play.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. There's a lot of different options for things to do or how to do things more.
Right, how to treat the characters.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like this game and trilogy at large, if you play it different ways, I imagine it can just get pretty different.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Adam on Twitter wrote in and said, I think I had Rex die once, but of course I found a way to save him every time after that. I've chose both Ash and Caden to survive. I prefer keeping Caden alive. Keeping Caden alive. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Sweet Tea on Twitter says, Caden, and I had to kill Rex in the process. It's a similar playthrough as yours.
Yeah. Candace on Twitter said, everyone was alive but Ashley, lol.
E. Brown on Twitter said, Caden, but he awkwardly kept flirting with my uninterested Shepherd, even when she was in an established relationship with Liara. It wasn't a hard choice when it came to him or Ashley.
Sarcasm on Twitter said Caden went boom in my playthrough.
Santa on Twitter said Rex.
So, it seems like for a lot of people, they didn't like Ashley or Caden, one of them at least, if not both.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it seems like they're fine losing one of them.
Yeah, which that's how I felt.
Yeah, which is fair. I didn't really mind, I wouldn't have chose to kill Caden, like on purpose necessarily, but like once it was between him and Ashley, it was like, all right, see you, guy.
Sorry, man, you're dead.
Yeah, see you, guy. From here, you head back to the Citadel after this mission at Vermeier, and the Council decides that we don't need to look for the conduit. So that was something that we found out about from talking with...
Benezia.
Yeah. They say, we don't need to do that, and they lock us down. They have us grounded. They're like, okay, you're done doing mission stuff. Like, Saren will just go away, essentially. It's pretty naive.
Yeah, I kind of forget why they did this, but it was stupid.
Yeah, the council is frustrating most of the time.
Yeah, they seem like they do dumb things.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So they lock us down, and they're like, you know, Normandy's grounded. You can't leave. You can't go after Saren. You can't do anything. You gotta stay here.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain Anderson says, hey, I'll figure out a way to get you out. Meet me at the bar. We'll, like, figure it out. And what he does is he sneaks into Ambassador Udina's...
Yep.
Office. Office. Yeah. And he's the human rep for the council, essentially. Like, he's not on the council, but he represents
the humans. He's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Human.
And he's... pretty similar to the rest of the council. He kind of agrees with them and like...
He's a bureaucrat.
Yeah. I don't like him.
Nope. He sucks.
Yeah. So Captain Anderson sneaks into the office. He punches Udina out, hacks his computer, and like gets us clearance to get off.
Mm-hmm.
So we get off and we head towards Elos, which is where Saren is reported to be next and slash where the conduit might be. Because we know Saren's also going after the conduit, so we want to go after Saren to go after the conduit together.
Yeah, or get there first if we can, I think.
Yeah. So then for me, at this point, Ashley and Shepard hook up before the final mission. This is kind of your last spot. If, as you build through the game, you can choose to romance a character or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly based on your kind of interactions. In between missions, you can talk to different people and get more personal and flirt and so forth. So with mine, I talked to Ashley and you can hook up. I imagine it was similar. Did you hook up with Liara?
Yeah.
Okay, so yours went that way.
Yeah.
I imagine basically the same thing. Go through where it's like, oh, you know, we might all die here. Let's, you know, last mission kind of feel, because the world does have that sense, but your romance option, that seems like where it heads that way. So then we asked, everyone, if you romanced anyone. Andrew on Twitter wrote in and said, Caden is my one and only true love for the series. You give me a gay option and I literally cannot bring myself to turn anywhere else. That said, I can't actually romance him as a mate in the first game. The payoff takes a while.
So I wonder if in the second game, if he's there. Well, he's dead in mind, but...
Yeah, that's what's interesting, thinking about how these could go, is that... Like, if you romance a squad member and it, you know, is in game 2 and game 3 or something.
But interesting. Like, in
our game, theoretically, they could be dead.
Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy.
Wow. I'll play the second one soon.
Yeah.
Nikki on Twitter said Liara, so same.
Pogo on Twitter said two words, embrace eternity, and then it was a gif of Liara.
Yeah, she says it. Adam on Twitter said, when I first played the game back in 07, I went with Ashley.
Then Christopher on Twitter said Liara all the way.
So pretty much Liara or Ashley.
Yeah, seemed to be the...
So I guess there's only three...
Yeah, I think in this game you can only romance three people, depending on if you're male or female Shepard. I think it can only be... I think Liara will romance either one, and then I think Ashley... Or no, maybe it is different. Because if Caden, you could romance as male Shepard.
But in the second game, it seems
it seems like the payoff's in the second game, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Ashley only for the male, but not for the female. And then maybe if you're female Shepard, maybe it's Garrus or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I didn't look like too deep into it.
Yeah.
Like the Mass Effect wiki is very informative, but I didn't want to spoil myself. So I was like trying to like stay kind of confined.
It's fair.
So Yeah, I did find out in my sleuthing, though, that you get more more squad mates as time goes on.
Hmm.
So I think you end up with more romance options in further games if you choose
That makes
to.
Sense.
Which, I again, the way I figured this whole game is, like, you get your six, and then that's who you have for three games.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very different.
Yeah, I'm
which
sure
is cool.
Some will play throughout the whole
right.
trilogy, but then probably some, obviously some die.
Yeah, yeah, which is kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
It's a cool difference. I just didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Hook up. You've hooked up if you've pursued a romance. And so now you're doing your last mission, potentially, before the world ends.
Yeah.
Because if Saren gets to the conduit, he could destroy the world by bringing the Reapers here to fuck everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, the Council, like, didn't believe you about Reapers.
Nope. Yeah, they don't think they're real.
So you're like, no, the Reapers are real. I talked to one. They're like, oh, Mr. Visiony Shepherd having
yeah.
visions
like,
of,
fuck you guys.
Of fake mythology.
I'm a specter.
And you're like, you assholes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Fucking council.
Mm-hmm.
so you get dropped off, though, at the ruins at Ilos, and Saren runs inside as you get there. And what this is basically like a planet that has a bunch of old tech that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. It's like if it's had a jungle grow up around it,
mm-hmm.
kind of feel. You end up going to the security station to get inside. Inside there, you find this Prothean message about Reapers. So this old message that was like a old transmission of sorts. It finds out about the Reapers, that they were coming. We continue going further inside the place at Ilos.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet the Watcher, who is this AI Prothean creation. And this is pretty cool. It can answer a ton of information,
mm-hmm.
and it's been alive a really, really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing is it tells us that the Citadel is really this enormous mass relay, and it's a huge trap. That when this relay gets activated inside the Citadel, it brings the Reapers back. They come from a dark space, like far, far away
mm-hmm.
from where they were. They destroy all organic life in the galaxy, and then they disappear again. So that there's in fact been this
it's a cycle,
crazy cycle,
mm-hmm.
right, that has gone on where the Reapers show up, kill everything, leave for thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And the Protheans were on the verge of figuring it out before they got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you like this pretty wild story of like, you know, first, I shut off the support people's oxygen. You know, like, so it was like, oh, we killed, like, the janitors
yeah.
of the world. Then we, you know, the more essential staff, and, you know, now it's just me here thousands of years later.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. You're like, wow, that's pretty nuts. Like, and that seemingly this Prothean outpost did manage to stay quite a while before they were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we're about to, once they figured out that the Reapers were coming, they tried to send it to the Citadel, but it was already too late. Like,
mm-hmm.
but they figured it out like right as it was about to happen, kind
mm-hmm.
of thing. So, pretty wild. Its name is Vigil.
The
Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Watcher's name is Vigil, and it gives you this temporary file that's going to give us access to the Citadel and all of its resources. But we need to go to the master control terminal inside of the Citadel to get there, and it's managed to build this sort of back door there, which is
mm-hmm.
kind of like
you can, I forget, do you like turn off the or make sure the beacon can't get started or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And then you go through like this force field of sorts
mm-hmm.
to get there, to hop over back to the Citadel, which is like really far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it created this like back door for a situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially. So we get there. We reach the end of the game. We're back at the Citadel, and we're fighting Saren inside the Council's chambers there. And this is like a pretty crazy fight. Saren's like really getting it.
Like getting it.
Yeah.
He's pretty strong.
Yeah, he's tough to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got his hoverboard.
Yeah.
So he's able to, like, be above you and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at the same time, we've got the Council that's all aboard this ship that's trying to escape the Citadel because it realizes, oh, shit, the Reapers are real and they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's trying to escape, but Sovereign is closing in. you end up with an opportunity to choose to save the council or let them die. And I guess we'll, I asked this now, I guess we'll do it now.
Sure.
So, for me, I let the council die.
I save them.
Save them, okay.
Yeah, I didn't really want to save them, but I felt bad not doing it.
Sure.
Because it seems like it should, probably should, to keep the galactic, unity together.
Right.
In light of the Reapers. Now that they know they're real, it's like, all right, you better fucking...
Right, we need you.
You should trust me now.
Yeah.
Basically.
I chose not to save them. I think in large part that they've been really, really unhelpful
to this point. Yeah, fair.
But also that, like, you were going to lose a lot of soldiers saving them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought that I might need the soldiers later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to need as much military power to save the galaxy as possible after this. So that was kind of my thought process.
That's fair.
You know, these politicians are stupid.
They are stupid.
And, like, you know, fuck them. Kind of thing. We'll read people's responses in a little bit, I guess, because they do have some things that we haven't talked about yet in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do that next. But so you get this opportunity to save them or not save them. After this stuff happens and we've killed Saren.
Well, I think he kills himself, actually.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I thought we shot him in the head, but maybe he shot
I think
him.
He shoots himself in the head.
Oh, all right. Well, Saren's dead either way.
Yeah, Saren's dead, for sure.
Saren's dead either way. But then Sovereign managed to become the reincarnation of Saren,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty crazy. So Saren's, like, laying dead, and then it's almost like if a lightning bolt hit him, and mm-hmm. that's Sovereign bringing him back.
Yep.
And so then he's more robot-y, because it's Sovereign now, instead of standard Turian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a little more like a spider looking too, and how he crawls around and
kinda
shit.
Creepy.
Yeah, it's definitely creepy. You fight Sovereign now. You fight again. You ultimately kill Sovereign as Saren. That's over. So then, yours is probably different here. But so then from here they talk about, oh, we need a new council. Like, what are we gonna do? Kind of thing. And you can say who should lead it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose Udina, the Ambassador Udina, or Captain Anderson.
Oh, fuck Udina.
Yeah, fuck Udina. I chose Captain Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And with mine, since the council was dead, I think it would be Captain Anderson building a new council around him, where he's the new leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it should be him, because they ask you, because it's like Shepard now has a lot of fame, essentially, mm-hmm. that like he could be a big influencer in how things go from here. So I said Anderson, like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. I think in mine... the council's still there, but they elect a human to be on the council.
Okay.
So then I picked Anderson.
Okay.
So it's I guess, pretty similar.
Right.
But yeah, I picked Anderson, for sure, because, yeah, Udina, fuck him.
Yeah, Udina sucks. Not helpful. I'm sure that he would be useful in peacetime, potentially, but we're not there, and having, like, a good soldier there, and someone who trusts us and knows us,
mm-hmm.
that's big. So, okay, so then the question back to, did we save the council? Oh, and I guess that wraps the game.
Yeah, that's...
Game ends with Shepard having that, and it's okay, we're gonna go and save the rest of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Reapers are still a threat.
Yeah.
But they're not here,
so we have to go find them and, mm-hmm. like, hunt them down and stuff. So now the question of, did you save the council, from what other people said? Nikki on Twitter wrote in and said she saved them. I thought it would maybe help me in the human race later if I sacrificed those good men and women for those three idiots.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Adam on Twitter said, I almost always send the Alliance to save the council, even on my more renegade runs. That scene is too badass to avoid for me.
Is it badass? Did you...
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, yeah, I mean, it...
I didn't see it, obviously, because I just let them blow up.
It's cool. It's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not enough for me to save them.
Sure.
If that's the only thing, I'm like, kill them. But yeah. Whatever.
Fair.
Yeah.
Backlog Knight on Twitter said, saved on my Paragon run, but I let them die on my Renegade run.
Yeah. I might have to replay this and be Renegade, because I hate the Council.
Yeah.
Christopher on Twitter said, save them all. And nominated Captain Anderson to represent Earth on the council. So, okay, same,
so you.
Same as mine. Yep.
Yeah. That was something that was weird in this, is that I generally... I did mostly Paragon stuff before that. And that's generally how I play games.
Same.
But I was like, yeah, fuck this council. I don't want my people to die. Like, I thought I would be a better leader by not letting my people die mm-hmm. for something that's not that important.
That's fair.
That was kind of my thought flow.
Mm-hmm.
But cool. Yeah, so that's Mass Effect. I guess from here we'll move on to general thoughts that we had on the game. My first one is I thought it had a good story. It had pretty cool twists and turns along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like finding out what the Reapers really were, or
yeah.
Even Saren being a bad guy in the beginning. Like, we didn't know Saren really before that. I don't think we met him.
No.
But just like, oh, this guy suddenly betrays the other guy, just betrays Nihilus, or like mm-hmm. stuff like that. I felt like the game like kept you on your toes. I didn't expect Rex to get killed.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. Also, I didn't expect squad members to die in general. So mm-hmm. like, just the whole way, like the way they did the story was really cool. I liked that quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of my thoughts too. Is I think the overall story is really cool. And it's, I didn't know they had planned to make this a trilogy starting out, but like, it makes a lot of sense because they set this up perfectly for Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of squashed some of the minor villains, but then, you know, I'm sure it gets way bigger in the second game and then even bigger in the third game.
Right.
But yeah, I think the overall story was really cool. There's some, like, some of the finer points were like, I wasn't super impressed with it, but I think overall, like, the plot itself was really cool. And yeah. really well done. And you're right, lots of twists. Like, did not expect the Sovereign ship to be a Reaper and mind-controlling people, and it was just really cool.
Yeah. Like you said, too, that set up for Mass Effect 2. Like, I feel even more in for Mass Effect 2. I'm like, cool. I'm Same. Ready to see, like... And when I found out that this is really Chapter 1 of a three-parter kind of mm-hmm. thing, it was like, okay, cool. Like, if this was the only game there ever was, I would like it. But I think because there's more, I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I guess, actually, in that vein, this really feels similar to A New Hope in Star Wars to me.
Hmm.
Like, I like A New Hope. A New Hope's a solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
But A New Hope is definitely better because Empire Strikes Back exists. It's better because Return of the Jedi happens. Like, mm-hmm. that trilogy really completes it. And,
yep.
like, A New Hope is still probably third place of those movies for me. But I like it more because of its attachment to the other ones. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is more reaching, but when Rogue One came out, that definitely made A New Hope better.
Fair. Yep. I agree.
Like, just getting those extra parts of the story. And so it's like, I feel like if someone said they didn't like Star Wars, but they only watched A New Hope, it would be like, no, you don't even know.
Like, yeah.
It's solid, but Star Wars as a whole having that mm-hmm. extra is big. And I think that will be the same here. Like, I like this game. It's solid. Solid and good, but I feel like with 2 and 3, that's going to really boost a lot of stuff. And now that I know characters can die, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm not losing Garrus.
Yeah, be like, really careful.
Everyone else can be cannon fodder, but like, Garrus is going to be here.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I feel the same way.
You know, or something like that. Now I'm like, all right, am I going to like have a person I like on my missions and then someone who's all right? And if we got to lose someone, like they're there.
Which is the scrub.
Yeah, the scrub. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but... yeah, I like that. It felt similar to that in my mind.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I feel like it's the entirety of the series is probably what is the selling point. It's like part one, it's all right. Like, it's pretty fun. It's actually a pretty good game. It's pretty fun. Part two, maybe it's better. Part three might even be better than that. Who knows? But like, I think it's the whole thing is like, this is a really cool series.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering. And that, like, oh, man, I've been Shepard for three games, probably. Mm-hmm. And, like...
all the characters, what you're doing.
Yeah, I've met all
start
these
characters. Finish.
I've met all these characters along the way. They've had these arcs. Some of them have gotten killed here along the way.
Yeah.
Like, to save the galaxy. We've lost people.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, you know, maybe I have this love interest I've had the whole time, or I've had a different one each game, or, like...
we have to kill one, and, like, the third one, something crazy.
That'd right,
be nuts.
Right.
Yeah.
No, right. Or it's like, you know... yeah, you have to let your love interest go, or like someone else,
or like all of your squad.
Yeah, like I don't know. They could probably pull stuff like that, which mm-hmm. is pretty cool. Like, and probably really makes that overall look pretty great.
Mm-hmm. This is in the vein of characters. One thought I had was, honestly, interacting with characters felt kind of unimportant. I feel like there's only one real goal in it, is to like find the love interest.
Sure.
And it was also it felt kind of broken. So like after each mission, you could talk to people. But it didn't really feel like it didn't feel very fluid.
Sure.
It was kind of like, you'd interact with them here, do some stuff, talk to them again, do some stuff, talk to them again. It, like, didn't feel like a real relationship.
Sure.
And I really only found myself at the end talking to Liara because I was like, I'm trying to make this a thing.
Right.
And then I like Garrus too. Right. But other than that, like, so I talked to Rex enough to be able to have him stand down. But like, I don't know. To me, it felt kind of broken.
Sure.
And not super important. Like, it felt like an added thing. Like,
yeah.
The characters kind of matter, but you didn't really interact with them outside of the ship in between missions.
Sure.
But I mean, that I'm sure other people have different opinions about that, but that was kind of my feel on that.
Yeah. I wonder if like doing more side missions mm-hmm. helps that or doesn't. I don't know.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Very well could. I'm just kind of lazy.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Same coming from being sort of lazy in that too.
But it's cool. It definitely didn't deter me from wanting to play other games like 2 and 3. Like yeah. I kind of makes me want to invest more in the characters because maybe there's more you can do.
Yeah. I do wish though that like them being on your mission did something. Like if you yeah. had a, like if there was like a relationship bar that was more like kind of obvious or something,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, by taking them up on your mission, you have a boosted, you know, friendship stat with them or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would have been kind of helpful because then maybe I would have either mixed my crew up or I'd have just been like, you're my 2. Sorry, other 4.
Yep.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause I'm not sure how much that really mattered if you took them on missions. Because I would take Liara on most of them, but I wonder if I hadn't and just talked to her each time after each mission, if it would have ended the same.
Yeah.
Probably would have.
Yeah, I wonder if you could do that, because then it's like, okay, like, these ones are my missions, but you're my romance one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could do that if you wanted, potentially. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess in a different take on that is I wish you could take more squad members on each mission, which I know that, like, I don't know. You can't expect to take 6. I think that would be
too easy.
Yeah, and would probably be like complicated for animation and
mm-hmm.
you know all that sort of shit.
Sure.
But I wish you could have taken more because like there was a point where it was like I had people on missions I would want to take, but I didn't because I kind of had my normal crew. Even if you could take a third and I was rotating my third,
that's
or something,
fair. Yeah,
I think I would have liked that.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the game would have been too easy,
maybe,
or like the combat specifically.
Yeah,
if you just had an extra body, might have been.
That yeah, that's probably true. Because then I guess that would complicate things. Because then you'd have to compensate for that with enemies, and
mm-hmm.
that could make the game cost a lot more to make. Probably like, stuff yeah. like that. So
who knows?
Yeah. So yeah, I just wished I could have gotten that more.
I think it would have added to character interaction too.
Yeah, I would have been into that. But
yeah, that's fair. My last overall thought was I think combat was kind of hard at certain points. Like, I don't know if it's aiming necessarily, but sometimes, like, the reticle for the guns just felt way too big.
Yeah.
And the enemies, I noticed this especially in the when you first fight, when you land on Eden Prime, the little flying aliens, like, these things are hard to hit. They're, like, tiny.
Right.
So I feel like that was kind of hard at various points, was actually shooting enemies, like, in the head or, like, getting
yeah
shots in on them. It was... That's why I use Liara so much, was like she could kind of freeze them, make them float up in the air, and I would just blast them. But other than that, it was kind of difficult.
No, yeah. It was definitely tough for me. I save scummed a lot near the end
yeah.
because of fighting the Krogan, because mm-hmm. they'd just kill me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because I basically like had to form a thing of like run halfway to where they are, shoot them, run backwards while I'm shooting. My squad shoots them as they come after
yeah.
me. I get far enough away that they stop fighting me, and then I come back. Like I yeah. had to like fight
beat
and,
the
like,
system.
Yeah, I had to figure out a way to beat the system in a not the best way,
mm-hmm.
but it was just because I was getting wrecked at times.
Sure.
By Krogan specifically, mm-hmm. just because they were a lot hurt.
Yeah, they could take some serious damage.
Yeah. Which was hard. I agree with that. And then my last comment is somewhat similar. Mako sucked.
Yeah, it's fair.
That sucked ass. There were times where I was like, I don't like playing this enough that like I don't want to play because of the Mako parts.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like a pretty strong
yeah,
just like
reaction. Yeah,
yeah. I was just like, man, I don't like this. Isn't fun. This is very not fun. But I like the other stuff so much that I'll deal with it. But like. Oh man, if you would have cut off like half the Mako time,
mm-hmm.
I would have probably liked this game even more. Like that kind of thing. Like
that's fair.
I did not enjoy the Mako at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then a similar vein with some of the fighting, but the gameplay was pretty rough at times. Like I think before this, I thought I was someone who didn't care that much about gameplay. Like it's fine, I'll deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time where I did feel it, and I was like, oh, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
This gameplay is not great.
What was some of the
I think just examples. Some of the fighting things of having to like run like that or doing the Mako or just different stuff with like that. I think that was the first time I ran into something where I was like, oh, I don't like this gameplay that much. Like, sort of rough. And also was the first time. So I played this on my PS3, and this was the first time I played a game that was older, and it sort of was like, oh, gameplay wise, this feels like an old game.
Yep, it definitely did.
Yeah, which was, you know, for me, I imagine for anyone who played this at the time, obviously it wouldn't feel that way because you're like, duh, this is how it plays. Or those kinds of things. But for me, coming back to a game that, in fairness to the game, it came out, I don't know, 2007. Yeah, I was going to say like 13 years ago.
Yeah, long time ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
So a criticism here is not on the game necessarily itself, but probably what gaming in 2007 was like compared to now.
Fair, yeah.
Or something. But but in that, I was just like, oh, this is sort of rough. I don't love this. Like, I'm glad I played the game quite a lot. I liked the game. I thought it was pretty good. I like the story a lot. I'm super interested in more. But those shortcomings definitely were there, and I was like, oh, if this was like the only thing I cared about, I would maybe not play this game. But since the things I care more about were really good, it was fine.
Into it, yeah. And maybe they improved that in the second and third game. I assume they probably did.
You would think so. I feel like if after the Mako, if no one was like, hey, dude, that shit sucks. Don't even have the Mako if it's going to be that way.
Like, all right, fine.
Yeah, I don't know who's talking to BioWare, but, like, you know, I could see them going for it, but I feel like afterwards people are like, dude, Mako sucks ass.
Doesn't add anything.
Yeah, no, right, it doesn't really, because, like, I would have way rather just done, moving as a squad down an area and shooting that smaller. Driving around, like, those landscapes didn't really do anything for me.
Nope, I agree.
I would totally give those up, and, like, shooting the cannon was moderately fun, but it wasn't, like, and shooting the machine gun on it wasn't very great, so it was, you could just take all those parts out, and that would be fine.
Yep, I agree. Cool.
Cool. Yeah, I guess that wraps general thoughts, so we'll move on to some general thoughts from listeners. Pogo on Twitter wrote in and said, I'd like to point out that the closure with a small relay and the statue being an actual relay, after all, was one of the greatest evers. Which, that was cool. I didn't expect that at all. And again, with the twist and turn section, I was super surprised and enjoyed that.
And well done.
Yeah.
Andrew on Twitter says, great game, but that dang Mako sure did suck. So we had a agreeable person there.
Yeah. Alyssa on Twitter said, I'm just about 13 hours in. I finished the first optional planet thus far, and I really like it. It feels like Dragon Age in space to me, which is high praise from my perspective. So that's cool. Have you played a Dragon Age game before?
Yeah, I played Dragon Age Origins.
Okay.
It was pretty fun.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, since it's by the same people, I have heard that it is similar.
It's in vein the companion of like, part.
Yeah, you have like a party system and probably a bunch of different classes or whatever. So you have different aliens and people here, but then I imagine there it's like goblins and shit.
Yep, essentially.
Cool.
Nikki on Twitter said, great game, cool characters, amazing world, or should I say galaxy?
She has a little more. Always fun to come back to. Some scenes never fail to get mentioned.
I thought that was another.
No, yeah. I know. Sometimes these comments are a little closer together when I make the notes, so sometimes, Zara on Twitter said, I've gone through the original trilogy 12 or 13 times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thankfully, the first time I started the trilogy, I didn't skip the first game. It does show its age sometimes, but certainly has a charm to it that can't be replicated by any other game. I personally enjoyed the Mako exploration, but only the first time around. Cool. It certainly does feel a little boring in the subsequent playthroughs. Also, the enemies can certainly feel like bullet spongy, especially on Insanity, which is what I like to play games on. All in all, I must play at least one or two times. I feel like if I would have played this for the first time in 2007, I think that would have been really helpful. Because I think that just my qualms with the controls and stuff wouldn't be there, because I'd be like, yeah, this is how this game plays.
Yeah, because I think things have really improved in the past 13 years.
Right.
Yeah.
But I definitely could see how this is a game that you play multiple playthroughs in.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you could change a lot just by making a little bit different decisions along the way. Let's see, we got Saul on Twitter said, I actually liked some of the weapon modification mechanics, and they got rid of that. They got rid of after the first game. Great game. I enjoyed it. Some of it more than the second one.
All right.
Interesting.
Hello, Coffee on Twitter said, reignited my love for gaming. So many great memories sharing my experiences with others.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's great. That I feel like Mass Effect would be a game like this. Like, I think if I would have found this in 2007 when I was playing games, I think I would have been in the game a long time ago.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I would have got drawn back in.
Yeah.
Because this certainly does hit the stuff that I really like.
Mm-hmm. Christopher on Twitter said, I really enjoyed it. It was the first sci-fi space game that I really enjoyed.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Robert on Twitter said it was one of the few reasons why Xbox 360 was brilliant in the early years, apart from the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah. So many experiences with that. God.
Yeah, that was bad.
I forgot about that.
The Red Ring of Death was bad.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
God, Microsoft fucked up with that.
Yeah, that was bad. But yeah, I feel like this would be pretty, you know, like if this is one of your early games you get on your 360.
Mm-hmm.
This really could send you on a cool path of gaming.
Mm-hmm. This and Gears of War, man.
Right.
Gears of War was my shit. Let's see. Thomas on Twitter said, I've always liked Mass Effect for having a more Star Trek feel to it, whereas Mass Effect 2 and 3 seem a bit more Star Warsy. Even if the combat is a little rough compared to the sequels, I liked how your weapons have overheat bars as opposed to the usual ammo counts, too. Yeah. So it sounds like they did improve combat in 2 and 3, which is... cool. We'll definitely want to play them.
Yeah, that is good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the heat up thing was cool too. It was frustrating when you're fighting,
mm-hmm.
but I thought as a mechanic it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like not having ammo.
Yeah. I don't know enough about Star Trek to know the same for you.
Yeah, I'm not familiar at all with it.
Yeah, I'm basically just aware of it, and I know that it's on the Enterprise.
Yeah, that's Captain Kirk. That's about it. I've seen one of the newish Star Trek movies, and it was cool, but that's it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it. I wonder if the idea of, like, the Normandy exploring, I wonder if that's the Star Trek-y feel. That's my guess. I don't
know,
though. But I am excited to hear about the Star Wars-y feel for 2 and 3, though, because
mm-hmm.
that is definitely in my wheelhouse.
Like Star Wars.
Yes. Cito on Twitter wrote in and said, I'm playing through it now, and I'm having fun with it. It definitely feels like the first Knights of the Old Republic game, but more polished.
Oh, nice.
Which, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I've never played Knights of the Old Republic.
I've either. Heard they're really good.
Yeah, I hear it's quite good,
mm-hmm.
And would like to play.
I think you can get them. Well, you can get them on Xbox.
Oh, really?
Nice. Xbox One, yeah. They're backported, but...
cool.
Whatever. Last up, we got Adam on Twitter says, overall, it probably has the best story in the trilogy, but the worst general gameplay. It does a great job of introducing the universe, some of the key characters, and the central conflict for the trilogy. So, cool. Gameplay gets better. I'm definitely all in.
Yeah, I like this, summary statement from Adam here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, hearing it's the worst gameplay, cool. That's good. Gameplay is getting better. I'm happy to hear that.
I'm in.
I'm sad that maybe the story could be less good, but mm-hmm. if it's going from, like, a 90 to an 85,
yeah,
that's fine.
Not bad.
I'll lose some story if the gameplay is getting better to help compensate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right with that, and I agree. The characters getting set up, conflict, like, I do feel like I know where Mass Effect is generally going, and now mm-hmm. I know who I'm going there with. I feel like, you know, the four remaining members on my squad, I'll probably like more than the new people we get.
Yeah, probably.
Just
by default.
By default, because they're, you know, we went through Mass Effect 1, bro.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of feel.
OGs.
Yeah, exactly. They're the OGs. So, I like that, like, how that will go, but then, you know, getting to meet new characters and be like, oh, who's my next Garrus or something. Maybe mm-hmm. there'll be someone who's that cool in the next one, and I'll be like, cool, now you're, like, one of my main people, or... I don't know. I'm excited to see kind of how this rolls out. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess that wraps up our thoughts on Mass Effect 1. I guess in the meantime, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do it on Twitter at StoryEverPod. You could email us at thegreateststoryeverplayed@gmail.com. Our website is thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. You can get all our old episodes there and stuff like that. If you'd like to rate and review us on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast, that would be super helpful. Just increasing visibility for the show and helping us enjoy this with more of you together with games. Also, if you would like to financially support the podcast, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. If you choose to do that, you can give as little as $1 per month, and you'll get access to our exclusive Patreon episodes that are just topical in nature. So you won't miss out on, you know, your favorite game or something like that because of Patreon, but you will get to hear our thoughts on extended stuff. So most recently, we've ranked all the Life is Strange episodes. We talked about our favorite Pokemon on an episode.
Yeah,
we just hit up kind of different fun topics like that. It's been pretty enjoyable. So if you'd like to check that out, you can do that. I guess that probably wraps us up, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.